If I could talk the stories, I could tell. It's the Bill Elder Podcast on this third day of February 2011. Happy birthday to Morgan Fairchild, who is 60. Dave Davies of the Kinks is 63. Gridiron Football's Fran Tarkenton is 70. And Joey Bishop would have been 92 today. He was a member of the Rat Pack, comedian, talk show host. Our very own Groundhog, Puxatony Phil, did not see his shadow yesterday on Groundhog's Day. So, early spring for all of us in the South. I believe Puxatony Phil was the same. Am I correct? I guess Puxatony Phil would be considered our national groundhog, right? No, that would be Ned Beatty. Thank you. Now, I have a story that was shared on Facebook. A friend of mine, Sebastian, put this up there, and I absolutely cannot believe it. It is from NME News, as NME, as in the letters. And the headlines read, P. Diddy sued for $1 trillion and accused of causing 9/11 attacks. This is from January 28th. A woman is suing P. Diddy for $1 trillion, which in British pounds would be $635 billion. Her claim, I want to be sure I have this right, because this is unbelievable, that he caused the 9/11 attacks. She submitted that Diddy went through Kim Porter and Rodney King and knocked down the World Trade Center. And then they all came together and knocked my children down. She said, I won a lot of money at the casino in Mississippi, and Sean P. Diddy Combs has my chip to my money. I want my chip. Please help me. It's worth over $1 zillion, she says. Turks has also applied for a restraining order against Diddy, which the judge has denied, and she did get a court date of January 31st. And I'm assuming that it was just knocked out of court. Thank you. Calmer minds have prevailed. This is kind of an epic day in music. In 1956, for what I guess is the only time, I don't know, or at least that was ever recorded, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash held a recording session at Sun Studios, and they were dubbed the Million Dollar Quartet. I'm going to put some YouTube links to this down in the Boobily Boos, audio boo, Boobily Boos. Okay. But in it is an interview with Jerry Lee Lewis, and he said that it was actually Carl Perkins' recording session. And in walks Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash. What are you going to do? Amazingly, I've never been to a real recording session for any kind of music. Sat in, watched, whatever. You know, one would think, with a recording studio in town. But no, I wasn't really part of the Capricorn group when the Allman Brothers, Wet Willie, and Marshall Tucker and those guys were recording. And so I didn't have the privilege of being in the studio to see any of this great music being made. I was young. I mean, I was like 16 years old, 16, 17 years old. I was really myopic in my radio career because that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be on radio. And so to be a teenager and to be on the most popular teen station and to have 3 air shifts a week was really all I needed in life. You know, I had a girlfriend. We'd go out. I had my air shift. And that was it. So I never really visited Capricorn Studios or even knew that the Allman Brothers were living down the street from the Big X, 2 blocks away, which would explain a lot about why Dwayne Allman would drive by the radio station. Oscar Levert tells a story, which I think is fascinating. When he was doing mornings at NEX and I was a teenager doing weekends, sometimes Dwayne Allman would drop by with a reel-to-reel and ask him to play it on the air while he and Barry Oakley would listen in the car behind the studio, wanted to hear what it sounded like. And on this particular occasion, Oscar said that Dwayne told him, we're going to go back to the studio and start remixing, which is a frightening thing if you think about it, because you're listening to your demo on an AM radio station. Whether he did or didn't do that, I don't have any way of knowing. Neither does Oscar. But, you know, it is interesting that now all of this is coming together years and years later, and that the studio has the potential of being reopened again, maybe not with the original equipment, but at least for people to see. Because that was the thing. And most people living in Macon, it was a hidden studio, and nobody knew where it was. And so now, finally, people can see where all of this stuff was made. Again, as I say, we stand a chance of losing the Georgia Music Hall of Fame. I hope we don't. But if we do, we really can stand on our own 2 feet musically, although I'm a little disappointed that they refused to listen to my theme park idea, 3 Flags Over Little Richard. Here's your $1 million idea. We'll see you tomorrow.